We need to remember now that the Bible says that, well, once again, there in the book of Hebrews, it's impossible to please God without faith. The Classic Amplified gives a working revelation, working knowledge, revelation knowledge about the invisible force of faith. Now faith is, so faith is now, because as we know, it's the substance of things hoped for. Hope is still in the future. But listen, Bible hope is based on Scripture. Now, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses, for by faith, trust, holy fervor born of faith, the men of old had divine testimony born to them and obtained a good report. Without faith, it is impossible. So it is, what? It's the title deed. Now, we know from what the Holy Spirit said through the Apostle Paul, it comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So what we're doing today brings faith. If you base it here on this, I like to put it this way, faith is the catalyst. Prayer does not make faith work. Mm-hmm. Faith makes prayer work. Yeah. There have been, and I learned a lot about this from Oral Roberts, and I realized, and I said to him, I said, sir, you use your faith on purpose. You use your faith like a mechanic uses a tool. I said, you go to your toolbox of faith and then you use it in that direction. He said, well, I never thought of it like that, but that's true. He said, faith has to come to the place where it has a climax and it explodes. And when it does, it'll accomplish whatever it is you desire and need. So now, let's start then, the 21st verse. Then Jesus said to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you.
Where are we at, John?
John 20.
Okay.
22nd verse. When he had said this, he breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. That's when they got born again. It wasn't on the day of Pentecost. Whosoever sins you remit are remitted unto them, and whoever sins you retain, they are retained. Hmm. Now, we have a whole lot more authority about that than we ever had any idea. We can go up to someone and quote that and then start there. If it's someone that you know or someone that you don't know. But here's the big thing. Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, or the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. Now listen, but he said unto them, except I shall see in the hands the print of the nails, put my finger in the print of the nails, and thrust my hand in his side, I will not believe. That is an act of his will, and he let them know, I'm not going to do it. After 8 days again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither your finger, behold my hands, reach here thy hand and thrust it into my side. Be not faithless. He made a decision. If I can't see it, and I can't feel it, I will not believe it. And there may be some of you out there that are talking that same way. You don't ever be caught without your faith and have it working. That means you need to stay in the Word all the time. They asked Smith Wigglesworth about his prayer life. And they asked him, they said, sir, how much do you pray? He said, very little. They said, what? Well, he said, I just stay in prayer all the time. He said, I just talk to him all the time. And I'll tell you something about that in a moment. Reach here your finger, behold my hands. Reach here your hand, thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord, my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and have believed. Amen. Now we'll go to Mark. And we'll go to chapter 5. Verse, a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, had suffered many things of many physicians, had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she'd heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. When did she feel it? After she believed it. That word can also be translated, the Greek can also be translated new. After she believed it, she knew it.
She knew it, yeah.
She knew it, but not until, but she believed it first. I'm totally convinced that someone kept coming, came in and told him what he preached everywhere. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, right. For he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, and so forth and so on. Over and over and over and over. She finally decided, hey, I'm going to do this thing. She said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway, immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt, or she knew in her body, that she was healed of that plague. Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned about in the presence and said, who touched my clothes? His disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, saith, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, your faith has made you whole. He didn't say, my anointing made you whole.
No.
Jairus already fell before him and said, my little daughter lies at the point of death. Come lay your hands on her, she'll be healed. And he went with him. So faith put him toward Jairus' house, and her faith stopped him in the middle of the street.
It was an interruption.
Yes.
It was a contradiction to where he was headed.
Yes. But it took faith.
Yes.
What? That guarantee, that title deed, she kept hearing that, she kept hearing that, and so she said, I own this thing. That is mine. And I've got it, and I know I'm because of the book of Leviticus. She's a woman of the covenant.
That was why he called her daughter.
Yes. The book of Leviticus said if she goes beyond her normal time, she's a shut-in. She'd been shut in for 12 years, and she's fed up with it.
You got another little girl who's about to become of age in the synagogue. She's 12 years old, Jairus' daughter. So they're connected.
They're tied together.
In this.
And don't you know Jairus was thrilled when he called her daughter? Then they came up and says, your little daughter dead, don't bother the master anymore.
While he yet spake, the scripture says.
But Jesus answered.
Always.
And he dealt with fear. If you read it over in the book of Luke, he said, stop the fear, believe only, she will be made whole.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody wrote a song, only believe.
That's right.
You believe only, you will be made whole.
Amen.
But then, so it will. As soon as Jesus heard the word that is spoken, he saith to the ruler of the synagogue, be afraid, don't be afraid, only believe. He suffered no man to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. He cometh into the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seeth the tumult and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, now listen to his words, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, she's asleep. He's using his words of faith. He just called things that be not as though they were. They laughed him to scorn. They mocked him. They made fun of him. That's the reason he said, get these people out of here.
Yes.
Now, you know, grandmothers and so forth, can't you just hear the grandmother? I told her not to marry this fool. Listen to this. Bring this, I don't know who, what he is. This renegade preacher in here.
TV prosperity preacher.
Yes. And that's my grandbaby. And no. Dead. No, she's not. She's asleep.
That's right.
He put them all out, took the father and the mother and the damsel, them that were with him, and entered him where the damsel was lying. He took the damsel by her hand. He said, lay your hand on her. So he took her by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumi, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. Straightway or immediately the damsel arose and walked, for she was of age of 12 years. So her bar mitzvah was?
Bat mitzvah. Bat mitzvah. Bar mitzvah is for a guy, bat, B-A-T.
Okay.
It's for a girl.
Well, I didn't know the difference.
That's the difference.
That's because I'm ignorant of this.
You're not ignorant of it.
That's the reason we pay you the big money.
That's right. That's exactly right. Yes, sir. Yeah.
That's where you got the name professor.
I get it. I receive it.
And you know, I just work here myself. Anyway. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. And so the grandmother came back in there and said, I knew it all the time. I knew it was going to happen. I told you, daughter. And we need to pay more attention to this man. Yes, I'll tell you what.
Like old Bartimaeus.
Oh.
Always calling you after they've just been telling him to be quiet.
You know they followed him. He charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. They went from there into his own country. I'm telling you, he didn't stand around. He didn't hang around so somebody could brag on him. I mean, when something like that happened, he said, hey, don't be talking about this, and just out the door. That is a lesson in itself. Mm-hmm. Amen. Now, take us up there.
Okay, let me show you something about covenant and a person without a covenant who's in relationship with somebody who has a covenant. Genesis 24. Here's Abraham. He's old now. Covenant is as powerful as God's own word because it is his word. Let me show you the father's reaction to somebody who's in relationship with somebody with a covenant. This is why being a covenant partner is important. Genesis 24, now Abraham was old, well advanced in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. There's the blessing.
Mm-hmm.
So Abraham, as a result of the covenant.
Yes.
So Abraham said to the oldest servants of his house who ruled over all he had, please put your hand under my thigh and I will make you swear. This is a covenant between two men. By the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that you will not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell, but you will go to my country and to my family and take a wife for my son Isaac. So that covenant between two men is happening. And then he says, well, what if she doesn't follow me? And the servant begins to say some things. Verse 6, Abraham said to thee, beware that you do not take my son back there, the Lord God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my family, and who spoke to me and swore to me these things, to your descendants I will give this land. Look what he's doing. He said he remembered that God's covenant, I want you to leave here and go to the place I'll show you. So he's not willing for Isaac to go back there. Amen. We're not going back. Mm-hmm. This is why we started today with this present truth. I can't go back to Sinai. All right, he will, look at this now. We talked about angels this week.
Yes.
He will send his angel, before you.
They were with you, so aware of this.
Mm-hmm. And she'll take for you, take a wife for my son from there. And if the woman is not willing to follow, then you are released from this oath. Only do not take my son back there. Twice he said that. So the servant put his hand under his thigh of Abraham, his master, and swore to him concerning this matter. It's a thigh covenant. It's only used a couple of times in Scripture, but it's between two men. It's not between God and man. And that's all I'll do that. He took 10 camels from Abraham and departed with all his master's goods in hand, and he went to that place. And if you skip on down here, let's find it. He does the prayer. Verse 12. Mm-hmm. He comes to the gate. Okay, verse 11. And he made his camels kneel down outside the city of the well of water at evening time, the time when women go out to draw water. Then he said, this is the man's prayer. O Lord God of my master Abraham. Now he's saying, my master Abraham has a covenant with you.
Yes.
He's not, this is not a personal faith prayer between him and God because he doesn't know him. He's Ephesians. We were one time without a covenant. Mm-hmm. This is a man who doesn't have a covenant. Now listen to this. O Lord God, my master Abraham, please give me success this day and show kindness to my master Abraham.
Show hesed.
Hesed, that's it. Behold, here I stand by the well of water, and the daughters of men of the city are coming out to draw water. Now let it be that the young woman to whom I say, please let down your pitcher that I may drink, and she says, drink, and I will give your camels a drink, let her be the one you have appointed for your servant Isaac. And by this I will know that you've shown kindness to my master. Now he's putting a fleece, what we'd call putting a fleece out. Now that's not a faith way. That's not the way we do things today. This is not a first-person covenant prayer. He's praying from a relationship with Abraham, who is a person with a first-person covenant with God. He's praying based on Abraham's covenant. Mm-hmm. I'm going to see the same thing with Elisha when he picks up the mantle. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? All right? Now, here's my favorite part of this whole thing. And it happened before he had finished speaking.
Yes, isn't that something?
That behold, Rebekah, who was born, and tells all
of
her family.
Let me point out something here. That prayer had to be prayed.
Yes, it did.
Jesus said, ask, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. And it'll be given you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened unto you. But the asking had to come to
pass.
That's
right.
So the Spirit of God put the prayer in the man's heart.
Yes.
He prayed it, and there it was.
Which
had he
means,
not prayed that, he wouldn't have known what to do or what to say.
Which means God would have had to spoke to her while she's still in the city while he's praying. God's already, the angel that's with him is already getting her, hey, you need to get up, get on down to the water deal. There's a man praying right now.
And it's very, very important that the angel, that we now have knowledge that that angel was orchestrating this. Mm-hmm. So he started way early that day. Mm-hmm. He started with her. He'd get her up right on time to get her in there and get through with breakfast. No, come on now. We got to get there right at the right moment. So come on. And so all of her motions, everything she thought that morning, everything she did was enforced by that angel.
Yep.
So she would be right there at the moment where he prayed the prayer. She did what she's supposed to do in the rest of the
And day. Jesus says, your father already knows what you have need of. But he still says, pray.
Well, yeah.
Because what you're doing is you're giving charge to that. For that angel, now he's got something to work with.
He had to ask Bartimaeus what he wanted.
That's right.
Because Bartimaeus had to say it.
And this is where your faith comes in.
Yes, it is.
This is where he recognizes it. So she does exactly what he's going to do. He does something to her. He gives a ring in her nose, half shekel weight, and two bracelets of 10 shekel weight of gold. She was bought with a price from that moment forward.
Let's read this.
Yeah.
It came to pass before he had done speaking, before he had done praying, that behold, says, now look, Rebekah came out, who was born of Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher on her shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
The damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. The servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of your pitcher. She said, drink, my lord. My lord? Drink, my lord. Mm-hmm. it's precious.
Now, she's carrying that pitcher up here, and she lowers it down in her hand so that he's not drinking from up here near her face. She is a godly woman, and she's honoring him, and this is part of why she's saying this. Before he had finished praying, God had already sent her.
Then, well, God, she said, I will draw water for your camels also until they have done drinking. She hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough, ran again unto the well to draw water, to draw for all of his camels. She doesn't know that she's giving a drink to camels.
They can drink a lot.
That are loaded with her wealth.
That's right. She has no idea.
No, but she's not selfish at all.
So then he bows down and worships the Lord. He goes with her to their house. They say, well, let her stay. You go on back. And he said, well, and then they said, whatever she wants to do. She decided to go with them. Now, all teaching that this is after, this is the first thing about Isaac after he's been offered by his father. He gets a bride. The name of this servant, his elder servant, is Eleazar. It means the helper. The Holy Spirit went and got the bride for Israel. Yes. It's a picture, it's a type and shadow of what the Holy Spirit is doing for us. Yes. And he prospered her, and he blessed her.
Yes.
And he answered the prayer, and the angels were involved, and that's our covenant.
He started her off as a wealthy woman.
Yeah. And it's covenant. And this is why you need to be a covenant partner of a ministry. Yes.
Praise God. And this Friday has come to a close.
Oh, my.
Glory to God. We have 15 seconds. So give the Lord praise.
Amen. Lord, we praise.
Bless your name, I thank you. Glory to God.
Kenneth Copeland Ministries is here to pray for you. If you need prayer for something in your life, we have trained and licensed prayer ministers who are filled with God's love, standing by to pray with you in faith and according to God's word. Just give us a call at 817-852-6000 and let us help you receive God's promises into your life.
Take the word of faith wherever you go with the Believer's Voice of Victory magazine. Build your faith through powerful articles from Kenneth and Gloria Copeland and other guest authors. Read encouraging stories and testimonies of real-life victory and equip your kids for spiritual growth in Commander Kelly's Corner. Download a digital copy for your tablet or mobile device. Sign up for your free monthly subscription or download your copy today at kcm.org.
Find something life-giving on kcm.org, your study center for victory. View the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcasts on demand and study along with the daily broadcast notes, or download the audio podcasts to listen on the go. Watch prior KCM events for hours with truth going in your eyes and ears wherever you are. Get real help for real life problems. Follow our guide to believe, speak, pray, learn, and apply your way to results from your couch, desk, or kitchen table. Stay focused on truth by reading the devotional From Faith to Faith every day. Read interactive BVOV magazines and click to unlock more content in each issue. Get a faith boost from testimonies of real-life success from people just like you. Find information on what partnership means and take advantage of the resources provided just for you. Read archives of Kenneth Copeland's partner letter and download free books from our bonus library. Over 50 titles available to read on your phone, computer, or e-reader. KCM.org meets you where you are.
Hello, I'm Larry Warren. Jesus said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life." God knew that in order to get a family, he would have to sow a seed, and that seed was Jesus. He sowed a member of his family so he could receive many children into his family. And he is still receiving a harvest of children into his family. That principle of sowing and reaping to reach the lost still works today. In Philippians chapter 4, Paul explained that giving or investing into the work of God's kingdom enable ministers to spread the gospel more effectively. God never forgets the seed you invest toward the work of his kingdom. He is so thankful to you for partnering with him and reaching those that are lost and need the saving power of Jesus. In return, he has promised you in Philippians 4:19 that he shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. God is faithful to his word. He will make sure you reap a bountiful harvest for the seed you've sown. If you would like to partner with God to reach the lost with the compassion of Jesus, I encourage you to pray about investing your seed into Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Partners and friends, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland are thankful for every seed you invest into this ministry. We greatly value every offering we receive. We pray over it. We put it to work spreading the good news of God's kingdom. And together with you, we're changing lives with the truth of the uncompromised word of God on every available voice. Let me pray over your offering and let's thank God for your abundant harvest. Father, thank you for serving us with seed to sow. As you served us with bread for our food, and you're multiplying every seed we sow, increasing our fruits of righteousness, enriching us in everything to all bountifulness. And we thank you for it. Amen.
Go to church somewhere this weekend, win souls, get out and start a revival or a ride. Praise God. Anything you want to do. And we'll see you Monday. Until then, this is Kenneth Copeland, Professor Greg Stevens, and all of the class saying that God loves you, and we all love you, and Jesus is Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Kenneth and Gloria Copeland would like to thank you for praying and sowing into Kenneth Copeland Ministries. We are believing with you for the harvest on the seed you have sown. To give by text, you can text the letters KCM to 36609. Together, we are sending the word of faith to people around the world.